What is up, everybody? We are back. We're doing another episode of Trail Talk. We're out with Andy DeSoto, Triple S Polaris. We're on a trail called Samsonite. As always, Cardo's providing the comms, and you can follow along on Onyx. We're out here today. We're going to probably talk about, well, the subject of this video was, are UTVs getting too expensive? And then on the way over here, I remembered Andy's going to go do something cool this week. So we'll probably talk about that a little bit first.
Let's do it.
Okay. Full disclaimer for everyone watching. I am trying to drive, talk, and fly a drone at the same time. And that goes good sometimes.
I'm so glad I'm on the passenger seat this time because it was nerve-wracking on the last video we did. So,
yeah, I remember you coming down the funnel and be like, I don't know if I like this.
We're coming up on the funnel right now, which is...
So this is what I'm telling you. Like, I just hate how I can't see behind me. It's just so nerve-wracking.
Even with all the nice cameras and stuff in here?
Yeah, I just can't seem to get comfortable. But anyway.
No, that's all good.
It's always different when you're barring a machine, too.
Yeah, that's definitely true. All right. This thing's already being fun. There we go. All right, Andy. So this week, what are you doing? Oh, shutting your door first.
Oh, I gotta shut my door better. Yeah. So I am headed over to Mesquite, Nevada for Trail Hero X.
Okay.
Starting, I'm heading out there tomorrow.
Perfect. What is Trail Hero X? Because I've been seeing a lot of advertisements and stuff for it. And to me, it looks like it's like a car show, but sounds like that might not be all there is to it.
And it is, and I'm glad we get to talk about it. And to be quite frank with you, there's a lot of things I don't know, but it's pretty intentional. But here's what I do know. It's 6 days total.
Dang.
The first 2 days, there's a car show, off-road swap meet, vendor row, and a show and shine for the car show, right?
And that's happening, it's Tuesday when this drops, so that's happening Friday when we're recording this and Saturday.
And they're also doing guided trail rides starting Friday.
Okay.
That starts at, I believe, at 8 o'clock in the morning. The car show starts at 4 on Friday. Tomorrow, Saturday, that continues over. So car show, vendor row, show and shine, trail guides are out taking people out riding. Sunday, however, that's when it really starts for me anyway.
Okay.
That is the expedition brought to us by the folks over at Trail Hero.
Yep.
And when I said there's a lot of things I don't know and it's intentional, that's because starting on Sunday morning, I believe we depart at 10:30. All we get is coordinates. And it's going to be over 500 miles. I think it's like 560 in 4 days. There's going to be 10 teams that are going to compete. It's not necessarily a race, but there's obstacles and who knows what else, because like I said, there's a lot of things I don't know. And right. Every day starts pretty much the same way. We're going to get coordinates in the morning. Everyone's going to end up at the same place at the end of the day. And then the next day we'll get coordinates again and off we go.
And off you go again, go figure it out again.
Yeah. We have to be self-contained with food for the 4 days. We have to have our sleeping arrangements, whatever they may be.
Yeah.
And I'll touch a little bit on ours because it's really cool.
Well, also yours is like unique amongst the rest of the competitors. Sorry, keep going.
It is. So I got hit up by my buddy, Brian Barlow. If you guys don't know him, he's the owner of High Country Unlimited. They build these really cool overland trailers that are mostly pulled with UTVs. They're designed that way. They're really light.
They have really cool
walking beam axles. And so I'm going to be co-dogging with him. I'll be his co-pilot.
Perfect.
He's driving. He's sleeping in the rooftop tent that's on top of this trailer.
Yeah, because those are... For those that kind of don't know. They're kind of like, I don't know how to explain it. They're, they kind of look like a pop-up trailer almost, but it, they're exactly bigger that. And way more articulate and yeah, they're just better. So he's sleeping on the top.
He's bringing along this hitch receiver canopy. It's not a canopy. It's like it's a cot that's suspended because it goes in this hitch receiver, and that's where I'm sleeping. It's all enclosed, so it's a.
Sorry, guys. Just also trying to make sure we're going the right way.
It's sleeping for one person is what it is. So that's where I'll be staying.
You didn't want to cuddle up in the top or what?
We kind of talked about it, and I was like, I don't know, man. You mentioned that you like to move around a lot at night. And I like to get up in the middle of the night and do my thing, so.
Okay, that's a no for me, dog.
Yeah.
That's
when I
fun.
Say do my thing is I drink a lot of water. Just so yeah. Nobody gets the wrong idea what I mean about that.
Yep. No, that's really cool. And like I said, when everything that's been going on with this Trail Hero X, I've seen tons of advertisements for it. I didn't really understand what it was. And it sounds like you didn't understand what it was. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Because like you said, that's intentional, but I'm really excited. So you mentioned you guys are going in this like UTV pop-up trailer, but you didn't mention that you guys are the only ones in a UTV for this whole competition.
We are. Isn't that cool?
That's freaking cool. And what is it? Because you talked about the trailer you guys have, but you're taking a Ranger, right?
We are. We're taking a 1500 Ranger. It's all decked out. It's got long travel. It's got shock work done, wheels and tires. I mean, it's wrapped by Union. It looks cool.
Yeah.
And it's all matching with the trailer. Like you said, we're the only UTV in this competition. The other contestants, from what I looked at, there's a couple Jeeps. There's a Commander. I think there's a couple 4Runners in there. Most of them are pretty stock, except for one. There was a Jeep that was, I want to say it was like on 40s.
That'll be hard to compete with on big ledges and stuff. If you have those, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? We'll see. It's going to be a lot of fun. And the cool part about it, too, is I want to say we have Starlink on our rig. So if you follow us on social media, you'll be able to get live footage of these next 4 days starting Sunday.
So if you're watching this right now, because this is going to drop on Tuesday, Andy is out there sucking dust on the trail right now as this video is playing. So I'll see if I can get a link or have him shoot me a link or some stuff. And we'll see if we can send you to the live stream or some way you can go watch him go do what they're doing with the Starlink and stuff. So that's freaking cool, man.
It is cool. If you happen to miss it, we do have they have a full production crew there.
Okay.
It will be cut into 4 episodes, I believe, for At Your Leisure.
Yep.
And from what I understand, they're going to pitch it to Netflix. So that would be really cool if they pick it up.
That would be awesome. If you guys, if you can see it on Netflix, that'd be sweet. You ever been on Netflix before?
Never.
I imagine not. That's awesome. Okay. So we got that out of the way, man. I'm really excited for real. Like, I'll find a way. There'll be a link somewhere in this video. Go check that out. But what I wanted to talk to you about today, because, you know, working at Triple S, you can see it. I think that there's a lot of sentiment in the off-road community now that side-by-sides have become too expensive or that, you know, they're just maybe not worth the price. And I've been thinking about this a lot because, I don't know, I think about inflation like everybody else does. And I'm kind of been noodling back and forth on like, okay, is this just inflation that we're seeing? Or are they actually getting more like unaffordable? And I realize that there's some crossover in those two things, right? Like it is just inflation and it's still unaffordable for people. That's totally a fair point. But I don't think that like the actual market of a side-by-side has outpaced inflation in a meaningful way. And maybe I'll just start with that. You can tell me, you know, like, what's your take on that?
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you, and I'll tell you why. When it comes to side-by-sides, there's so many options.
Right.
And I'm obviously going to touch base on the brands that we carry, which is CF Moto and Polaris, right?
Yep.
One thing in, to take in consideration too is where the manufacturer is comparing it to like an automotive world, where if you were to look at pickup trucks 15, 20 years ago, and you can still get them bare bones now, especially if you're looking for like a work truck with no carpeting, yeah.
It's vinyl like floors,
plastic stuff, and you'd find out they're actually pretty cheap. You know, they don't have any infotainment stuff. There's no leather. There's no luxury to it. And then you get into your $100,000 Denali trucks that, you know, your diesel Duramax, and they're like $100,000. So, yeah. And it's the same case with side-by-sides. I mean, if you really wanted to get into something that is per se, like if you came to our dealership and you have $13,000 to spend, well, we have a CF Moto sport model that you can buy, and they're great machines.
Well, I don't think so. You said like you're going to disagree with me. I don't think we're disagreeing, to be honest. I think we might be losing our spot on the trail, but I don't think we're disagreeing. I think my point is kind of like you're saying. I don't know. I did some research. So looking at this, I went back to like 2008, and the MSRP for like a Rhino was somewhere around that $10,000 to $12,000 mark, which is totally understandable. I mean, everybody that I think is like, oh, they're so expensive now, is thinking about like, I don't know, maybe they're not, but I think they're thinking about that kind of era in their brain. That's where they're going to, like that when they first came out, what's going on with them, and how they I think they're thinking about that era and like the good old days from that time. But the problem is that like I say, everything has increased in price. For I guess a comparison would be I think that same like Rhino would now be what they call a Wolverine, is that right? And looking at their options online and what they cost online, it's only still like $15,000 to $18,000 ish, which is basically the exact amount of what was like the inflation is overall. It's not like, oh, prices have inflated, you know, 40%, but side by sides are now 70% to 80% more expensive. And I get that it's still like kind of not there. Like for somebody that's trying to buy a side by side, yeah, the total number does matter. But it's important to note that it's like everything has gotten more expensive, and it's not like side-by-sides in and of themselves have gotten to the point where they alone are like, wow, we're being charged so much more for these. It's just keeping up with the rest of inflation. And to your point, I think that it's great that there are some other options coming in, like CF Moto, like Segway, that are bringing in that lower price point, because your comparison that people have of like the Rhino, the 2008, 2007, all that kind of stuff, like let's just get it out there. That is not the same machine as this that we're in right now. Oh, it's just not.
Definitely not.
No. And so you can't really compare that and say, oh, well, why can't it still cost $10,000? It can, but it's going to be that CF Moto that you were talking about. But that's what you would be getting for, you know, equivalent spec, equivalent technology. The equivalent machine does cost the equivalent amount. It's just that now we also have these machines that exceed that. Is that kind of what you agree with on that? Or is
no, that makes total sense.
Right?
Yo, you're totally right. Since you brought up 2008, I'm gonna kind of keep it there.
So okay.
Your Razor 800, 2008.
Yep.
You had about 9 inches of wheel travel.
Yes,
52 tons of horsepower, 10 inches of ground clearance.
Yep.
And it cost, I think it was like around $6,000, right above $6,000, right?
Okay, yeah.
Now, a more comparable machine would be the Razor XP. That would be the equivalent, other than the trail that you can buy new. Those are about $13,000.
Okay. You're talking the Razor XP, the ones that don't have the Lambo doors. They have the, they're like the, Yeah, I guess the what would just be called like the I don't know. I know what you're talking about. Sorry, guys. Of the pro chassis stuff.
Yeah, none of the pro chassis stuff. So let's talk about the Razor XP real quick. So
okay.
114 horsepower. You get Walker Evans shocks.
Yep.
You get 14 inches of travel up front. I want to say it's 16 and a half in the rear.
Okay.
And if you look online, Polaris as a manufacturer dropped the retail price $2,000 from last year and the previous years. And they have a $2,000 rebate.
Okay.
So you're looking to get into a very respectable sport machine for around 17 grand. And you're in a Razor.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've driven the new XP.
I haven't.
It's not a turbo model.
No.
But they'll do everything that we're doing right now. And just as well. Other than the horsepower that you're going to need in the sand dunes to one-up your buddy. But it'll still rip around those dunes.
Well, dude, like, that's kind of the point. Like, right? Yes, this is a Turbo R. It is a turbo engine, long travel. We're doing 4 miles an hour right now.
Right?
You know what I mean? Like, once we're in the rocks, and like, to be perfectly honest, maybe it's just the way I drive it. Maybe I just drive like a wuss. I am not really ever pushing this thing deep into the turbo territory. I don't know. Like, it's just one of those things that's like, okay, if you don't need it, don't buy that. And I get it where you could look at like, okay, a spec'd out Pro R is like what, mid 40s? Is that right?
42, two seater.
And you could be like, oh man, that's so expensive. Like, I could go buy a Jeep for that much money. I would just like to contend that no, you cannot. Like, I get that you want to say you can. Sorry, dude, fighting this drone is actually such a pain in the butt.
Totally good, man.
But I'm going to leave it in. I'm about to make you do it, is what's going to happen.
I will crash it. I don't know what I'm doing. I got some left hands.
It's all good. No, but the point is, I've been pricing out Jeeps with my wife. And yes, you can go buy a base model 2-door Jeep and probably be under 40. And I'm sure with incentives and stuff right now, it's even better. But we're not talking about the same thing. Like, you're comparing a Lariat, a King Ranch, a Raptor to that base model truck you're talking about with vinyl floors and everything else. Like, and if you put things in comparison of like spec to spec, like you say, you're looking at that, what do you say, 15, 16 grand for the Razor XP?
Yeah, you're it's about 17.9, and then there's, like I said, there's that $2,000 rebate with Polaris. And not to mention, through our dealership, we have access to finance them for 180 months. So we can monthly payment. I'm not suggesting it. I'm not a financial expert, or I'm not trying to give anybody advice, but if you're in,
if it really comes down to like, what's the monthly payment?
Get you into it, then let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. I think everybody's kind of aware of like everything getting more expensive, but people need to bring it back and think, okay, is this really reasonable for me to expect a full, essentially, you know, Baja vehicle for prices from 10 years ago? No, it's not. Or even for prices from 15 years ago. It's not the same thing. And I can hear people screaming right now, like, oh, it just makes it so it's unaffordable to get into the sport. And you just, like, it's just different. And you're making it so that, like, when my grandpappy was whatever, he bought one for a stick of gum and blah, blah, blah. I get it. But you can still do that. You can still go buy a used Razor. You can go buy a CF Moto. It's not an impossible task to get into one of these for under 10 grand. Yes, it might not be new, but you're not doing that. You know, you weren't getting into it under 10 grand new anyways. They were 12 to 13. So that's just kind of my thing. I've just been thinking about it, and I think that that's an important thing to keep in mind. Speaking of the CF Moto, I am extremely stoked that there are people like CF Moto bringing in these lower priced options. And I understand that there's some hesitation around those. I think that that's kind of understandable, if I'm being honest. In the past, you know, some of the equipment from the Chinese manufacturers wasn't up to snuff. But I'm curious to know, like, what's your take? Like, and you're obviously a dealer, so everybody, you know, grain of salt, whatever. But it seems like they've got support. It seems like they've got, you know, you can get parts for them. It's not just like a throwaway Tractor Supply machine.
Correct. Yeah. A couple things that people might not know about CF Moto is they've been in business for a pretty long time. They actually make engines for KTM
and okay.
other manufacturers. They have a huge plant in Mexico, just like Polaris and Can-Am.
Yeah. That'll be good. That means they're not going to be entirely hosed by the tariffs either.
Yeah. At least not as much as from China to from Mexico, right? The comparison there to the different tariffs. They come with a 1-year standard manufacturer warranty.
Right.
And it's a damn good warranty. Let me tell you, every time we file a claim with CF Moto, there's no questions.
They just send
us the parts. It's really, really good.
Yeah, because Polaris is 6 months, so half the time.
On the sport models, yeah.
Yeah. Is it different on like the utility models or?
So I want to say on the Rangers, it's a year, if I'm not mistaken. And even on the 1500, and I hope I'm not saying this wrong, but I believe the drivetrain, like the new steel belt transmissions got, want to say 2 years, just because of how dialed in they, dude, that 1500. So that's one of the topics I think that we should talk about too, is when you brought up that these things are getting so expensive, is like, well, what are you comparing it to?
Because exactly.
When you brought up the Pro R, like, you can't compare it to another Razor from the previous models when there wasn't a Pro R.
No. And there was never anything made that was a 4-cylinder, you know, 23 inches of travel machine. It just didn't exist.
Exactly, yeah. And what you're really getting, a good comparison for the Pro R would be like a Class 10 car.
Yeah.
It's not a Class 10 car, but that's what it's most comparable to in a competition sense. I know those cars are a lot more capable. They are really highly regulated with racing, and there's been a lot of chatter with the Pro R's catching up to them in races, but they are under regulation, so
yeah,
they're all limited to horsepower and engine specs and all that good stuff.
Yeah, they got to deal with all the like race rules and shenanigans that comes with making it fit the class.
Yeah, they need to, this is another topic, but they need to kind of reorganize. And this has been going on in the racing world for a little while now, is just the way they classify these cars. But to get back to price point and comparison, the 1500 Ranger, there really isn't anything out on the market to compare it to.
No, nothing with a steel belt. I mean, there's a lot of 4-seater utility models, but 3-cylinder steel belt, whole new drivetrain, like it's just different. It just is. What would you say compares to it, like as close, or what's the closest in comparison, would you say?
I think maybe one of those little Japanese mini trucks, but even
the key truck.
Yeah, but even then, okay, you're not going to get anywhere close when it comes to ground clearance and off-road capability.
No, not at all. What's the story? How would you say that compares? So like, to go back to the pricing like mismatch, and actually I'm gonna drop the drone and we'll jump back into this in just a second. Alrighty guys, so full disclosure, we've been just fighting cameras and drones all day, but I think where we left off was we were talking about the Ranger 1500, how there's not really that much of a comparison. It is such a different like vehicle in that like you have some of the cars that are coming out now are going away from the belt, which is understandable, but like they're going to a DCT like the Honda, or they're going to a Well, I guess a DCT like the Maverick R too. I guess they're just going DCTs. But the steel belt is kind of a different thing entirely, just because it's still a belt system, but it's steel, so it should last a lot longer. But as you were saying, there's nothing else that compares to that. So like, how are you even drawing a comparison and saying, oh, this should be this much price? Like, you don't know, right? As a consumer, this is all new.
Yeah, and that 1500 is, there's nothing out on the market to compare it to. The best thing I can probably think of is maybe like a Japanese mini truck, but even then, when it comes to off-road capabilities,
yeah,
there is no comparison.
Yeah, the mini truck might survive on the farm with the Ranger, but it's not gonna come out on the trail with the Ranger.
And then on top of that, the mini trucks, they're pretty bare bones, especially interior wise.
Oh yeah,
the 1500 is nothing but luxury, man. It's like getting into they might as well call it the 1500 Denali. It's so nice in there. Like the fit and finish on even just the AC vents, the armrest that you have, it's like a pickup truck. Like everything's very pickup trucky, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, okay. So speaking of pickup trucky, the U10 from CF Moto, it looks like, I think the Rangers are this way too, but it looks like all of these like really classy, almost utility side-by-sides have kind of taken their cues from the inside of the new Fords, like with the vent styling and things that. What's your opinion on, what is it, the Highlander? Is that the top line for the CF Moto for the U10? The top trim? That versus like the North Star?
I haven't been in one yet. I did get in an open cab one.
Okay.
Just a few months ago. So Robbie Layton stopped by and picked his up because it was dropped off to get some accessories installed at our dealership.
Nice.
And I did get to drive it around the parking lot as I was loading it up, and compared to their current, so compared to the current C4s,
okay,
it's night and day.
Just
I don't know if I necessarily compare it to the 1500 because I haven't driven the new U10, but definitely really nice. I'm excited for them, and we got a few of them on order. I don't know when those will come in because everyone's trying to get their hands on them right now.
Yeah. And
the price difference is pretty significant.
Oh yeah. Well, fair warning, before I did all this, I went and creeped on them on, I've spent some time cruising around their website in preparation for this video, and the interior of that U10, I hate saying this because I feel like I'm just like doing an ad read, but I'm not. I was like looking at it and I was like, you know what? Like I might be persuaded. It looks really nice. Now, granted, I would have to like come completely out of a sport machine, come out of Polaris. That's a big jump, but it looks really nice. And it seemed like the basis or the middle ground price on that was somewhere around that 25 grand mark, which is,
you're right,
like what, 10 grand off what a 1500 is, a North Star.
No, you're 1500 on your crew. You're closer to 50.
Oh, okay. So that's like way better.
Half the price.
Yeah. Okay. That's really cool. And just to bring it all back to that, like I'm really stoked. I'm stoked that they exist. I'm stoked that they're making vehicles. I'm stoked that they're bringing the competition, because for me, I don't know. I do feel some of that twinge in my heart of like, dude, how are people going to get into this? Like, how are people that aren't, you know, fortunate enough to do it, like, going to find a way to have a nice vehicle off-road? And I think that, dude, even the Segways, I've driven the Segways. I think that they're a good car. Like, I don't have any issues with them at all. So it's nice to see people and manufacturers bringing that competition.
Yeah, there's definitely something for everyone. Like, you couldn't. This is kind of a hard one for me because I came out of a Honda Talon just because I'm a hard Honda guy, but I'm just, that's not who I am anymore. Like, I couldn't go back to that world.
The Honda world?
Yeah, just, no, not the Honda world, just getting back into a Talon after being in a Pro R or a Pro S.
Okay.
Like, they are so far apart from each other. But, like you were saying earlier, like, every person's got a different need for a side-by-side. Everyone has different riding styles. Everyone wants to go to different places. There's some machines where your machine's too wide, and this wouldn't fit, you know, person A and C. So there's so many options for everyone. So just to get back to the point where, you know, what we were talking about as far as like these getting more expensive, like there's just a lot of options. And yeah, if you want the best of the best, here it is. If you just want to occasionally take it out once a month and take the family out on a trail, you have this option. And that's just really what it comes down to.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing that I think people just need to make sure they remember. When you're comparing a price to what you remember the prices being in the good old days, you have to remember that what happened or what existed in the good old days is now obsolete. And you can probably still get that. It's just not going to be what you are hoping it to be, right? Like, you can still get that exact quality, but in your head, you got to remember, like, okay, the $10,000 car is still the $10,000 car. It's not going to be the $40,000 car because it's a different animal. So, anyways, I think we'll wrap it up exactly there, man. I don't know. I hope people can not feel like we're just like, oh, you can buy the cheap vehicle. It's for you. It's not. It's just, there's just different things going on.
Yeah. It's just like anything else, right?
Yep. Like, for example, dude, I drive a base model truck because that's what works for me, you know?
Yeah.
So, cool, man. Thanks for coming out. Yeah. Thanks for chatting. Yeah,
thanks for having us out.
Yeah. If you do want to pick up a CF Moto, or you do want to pick up a, you know, if you are a big baller, want to go spend 50 grand on a 1500 crew, go hit these guys up. Triple S Polaris, Cedar City. They'll get you squared away. So, cool, man. We'll catch you guys later.